and the forsaken children, and let them come quickly. For a voice of crying is heard out of Zion, for we are greatly confused. For death has come into our ghettos to cut off the young men and women from the streets of Philadelphia, New York, L.A., Georgia, Ohio, Florida, Mississippi, and throughout America, South America, the Caribbean islands, Africa, Asia, and all over the world. So return unto me, thus saith Yah, and I will return unto you, O my people.
Welcome, listeners, to Time for an Awakening on Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennia. This is a history and current events program from a cultural perspective. We find this program necessary because Hosea 4:6 states, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." But we as a people can turn this around. Proverbs 4:7 states, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get an understanding." Again, welcome to the program this evening with your hosts, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. The number to reach us to join the conversation this evening is 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We're streaming live at several locations. You can go to timeforanawakening.com. That's timeforawakening.com, which is the home page, and listen to the live stream from that location. You can go to www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening. Again, that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com/timeforanawakening, and listen to the live stream there. Or you can download TuneIn to any of your walk-around or carry-around devices. TuneIn is a free app. And in that TuneIn search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening radio program. There you'll see the icon. and you can stream the program live, even into your car. That's Time for Awakening radio program with the live stream on the TuneIn app. Drop us an email at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. That's timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Time for Awakening also has a fan page on Facebook. In that Facebook search engine, just type in Time for an Awakening radio program. There you'll always see interesting content being posted daily. And before you leave that page, do me a favor and hit that like button. That's Time for Awakening radio program with the fan page on Facebook and Time for Awakening Media. The homepage is there. And it should be one of your favorites. If not, make that one of your favorites. Put that in your address bar. That's timeforawakening.com. Timeforanawakening.com will take you straight to Time for an Awakening Media. There you'll see more interesting content, future blogs, podcasts of the programs that you can download, listen at later times, or even share with your friends. So again, make that one of your favorites. Put that in your address bar. That's timeforanawakening.com. Timeforanawakening.com will take you straight to Time for an Awakening Media. Tonight, we're again in open form. Freestyle Friday, as we call it. Anything on your chest, on your mind, you can talk about it. For the first hour, we're going to be in open form. In that 9 o'clock hour, we'll be expecting a special guest to join us in conversation tonight. The Minister of Health for the Universal African People's Organization will be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour. Minister Nathaniel Jordan, the Minister of Health, again, for the Universal African People's Organization, will be stopping by Time for Awakening to talk with us a little bit. But until then, the floor is yours, and probably afterwards, after we are joined by a special guest, we can still talk about some issues. So we'll be right back to get things started after a brief word from our sponsors.
Our distinguished guests, brothers and sisters, our friends and our enemies. Everybody is here.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency and business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
RG Electrical Inspections provides electrical inspections for realtors, licensed electricians, and homeowners. Licensed and insured underwriter, serving Philadelphia and surrounding area. Call today, 484-268-9837.
Overworked? Suffering with an underperforming company, headache customer, staff, or vendors? Or are you a startup who wants to get it right the first time and avoid the costly mistakes? we turned a $24,000 a year odd job handyman service into a seven-figure high-end custom home builder and commercial contractor licensed and operating in three states. This is just one transformation created for entrepreneurs like you in various industries around the country. Not what you're used to from accounting and business consulting? Well, welcome to New Business Solutions. If you're ready to go beyond advising, coaching, and training and get implemented results, call 301-244-9072. Let New Business Solutions apply the best comprehensive administrative, accounting, operations, human resources, management, sales, and marketing to help you actualize your vision for yourself and your company. From anywhere nationally, call 301-244-9072. Spelled new as in numerous on your device right now. Book your free consultation at newbusinesssolutions.com.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
From antiquity to the present, our people need to develop a new paradigm. It's time for an awakening. With your host, Brother Elliot. Sundays, 7 p.m., Fridays at 8 p.m. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit us up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. And before we get started with our program this evening, I want to welcome in my co-host, Philadelphia activist, tour guide at the African American Museum here in Philadelphia. Brother Richard is with us. Brother Richard.
Yes, sir, Brother Ellie.
How are you, sir?
I'm good.
Yeah, well, it's Friday evening here in the city of Philadelphia. The summertime is still hanging on. I know you're enjoying it, Brother Richard, but you better enjoy it while you can.
Yes, sir. And yes, I am. I walked out the door and said, okay, this is how an African is supposed to feel when they walk outside their door. You know, okay, I'll give the Caribbean part of me also, you know, like just because it's a slight breeze, sun shining, you know, a little cloudy, but something you don't have to worry about, three layers of clothes or feeling the chill.
Yeah, well, I'll see whether you'll be saying that in about another 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh, no. Hey, Elliot, every day I'm trying to think, well, do I got enough? You know, what is it that I need? I don't know if the listening audience really believed it, but I'm very anti-cold, you know. This is a melanated man that's truly not about, I done made it this far, but I never really loved it, you know. So, but I'm glad that we're, you know, things are nice now. And it's interesting to see how we'll, you know, do this Freestyle Friday today, tonight, and informing and sharing with the listening audience that's out there unwilling to bring forth their pieces of what's going on around in their world.
Yeah, I do want to remind the listening audience about the live broadcast Sunday. We won't be doing it Saturday. We'll do it Sunday. At the Locks Conference here in Philadelphia, November 7th and 8th, the Locks Conference here at Philadelphia from 12 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. at the Universal Ordinary Charter High School at 3301 Tasker Street in Philadelphia. Organized and put on by Mama Kosowa, the 23rd annual Locks Conference here in Philly. The price is $10. Children under 12 is absolutely free. Come on out. It's a total family cultural event here in Philadelphia. Total family cultural event. It'll be people coming from all over the world, but we just want our listening audience here in this local tri-state area to know that we'll be there. We'll be broadcasting live on Sunday. Come on down, be part of the broadcast, introduce yourself, meet Brother Richard, be part of the conversation. Let me read a little something there about the Locks Conference, 23rd Annual International Locks Conference, Natural Hair, Holistic Health and Beauty Expo, 2 days of exhilarating excitement, entertainment, delicious healthy food, informative and conscious-raising workshops, live musical performances, children's activities, alluring cultural fashions, African and soul line dancing workshops, visual art and breathtaking hairstyles and hair adornments, and stunning natural hair showcases. The conference is a good example of self-determination and also features local, regional, and national arts and craft merchants exhibiting their finest quality handcrafted jewelry, natural body and hair products, and African artifacts. And leading experts from the natural and holistic hair and health field will be there. World-renowned scholars, black liberation activists, and artists from a myriad of professions who utilize the expo as an annual autumn family gathering, spiritual renewal, and networking opportunity. Several speakers will be headlining and workshops going on both days. Sister Ramona Africa, renowned activist and MOVE member, will be speaking and conducting a workshop. Brother Wesley Muhammad will be featured on, I think, on Sunday. The chairman, Fred Hapton Jr., will be here and partaking in one of the workshops. Professor Griff, Marcus Klein, educator out of Chicago, big proponent of independent Afrocentric schools, runs a school in Chicago. Education, I know, is dear to Richard's heart as a former board member of one of the Afrocentric schools here in Philadelphia. Can't wait to sit down with Brother Marcus and have him say a few words to our listening audience. We'll be looking to grab him on Sunday during the live broadcast. Sister Nataki Kamban from Let'sBuyBlack365.com will be there, and she'll be conducting a workshop. So it's a lot of different people will be there. A lot of things going on for the 2 days, jam-packed full of exciting grassroots individuals, live performances. Come on out to the 23rd Annual Locks Conference here in Philadelphia, October 7th and 8th, 12 o'clock to 9:30 p.m. Again, that admission is $10. Children under 12 is absolutely free. To get more information, you can dial 215-438-8189. Again, that's 215-438-8189 or 1-800-890-5159. Again, that's 1-800-890-5159. Looking forward to the live broadcast on Sunday, Brother Richard.
I'm excited just to, you know, as you say, to be energized. And, you know, in this time, Elliot, it becomes more and more, once again, critical for the networking of those of us with like minds. And the Locks Conference, as you kind of laid out the activities for the 2 days, shows how the networking, and I'm really emphasizing this, the importance that we are not just celebrating our beauty and our culture, but we're strengthening our social network to be able to do the politics that is necessary or the economics that's necessary to truly get power in the areas, whether that be personally, our inner self, or in our social relationship as a people. Because I think as we see things going on in this country and in this city, that it's going to become more and more critical that we demonstrate practically by these events, turning them into our networking power formation processes as well. So I see that there's a lot of activity going on in St. Louis right now, based off of the what's that, the decision to let someone go for, you know, who really, we believe committed murder, and the community in St. Louis believe committed murder, and they're just not going to have it. And they're creating protests in another way in order to, what's the slogan they had? Do you remember the slogan they have?
Yeah, no justice, no profit. And I want to travel down that road. I want to talk about that some, Brother Richard, in open form, because it kind of coincides with some of the things that Brother Asa Khalif was doing here with Black Lives Matter here in Philadelphia. A little different, but the same type of pressure. I want to talk about that. But first, I do want to mention, some of the listening audience do know about the new programming that have come on board, Time for Awakening Media. Brother Oshi with African Perspectives debuted this week, Mondays, Wednesday, and Friday is Brother Oshi's program. Full week under his belt. An exciting program, African Perspectives with Brother Oshi. We got another program debuting tomorrow. A good friend of mine, a former producer extraordinaire with the terrestrial station that I was affiliated with here in Philadelphia, Brother Troy Wilmore. Big Brother Troy will be doing his program tomorrow. SST, Saturday Sports Talk, will be debuting tomorrow on Time for Awakening from 10 to 12 a.m. 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., I'm sorry. 10 a.m. in the morning, Eastern Standard Time. Big Brother Troy will be talking about a lot of issues centering around sports. Troy has access to the locker rooms, talks with the players, talks off the record, knows a lot of conscious individuals there, and he's going to be adding a conscious flair to his program, SST, Saturday Sports Talk. So catch Troy on Saturday mornings, and his debut is tomorrow at 10 o'clock. One of the old veterans here at Time for Awakening, if I could say that, she'll probably hang me, Sister POC with Revive. They come on Wednesdays at 8 to 10. On Time for Awakenings, and Sunday mornings, 11 to 1. Sister POC has been doing the program now for about five to six months. So she's been on a while. We got a couple other programs starting within the next week or two. We have Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers, who we featured on the program a couple of weeks ago. He'll be doing Black Reality Think Tank on Saturdays from 4 to 6 on Time for an Awakening. Us Lifting Us with Baba Akima will be on Thursday evenings, I think from 8 to 10. We'll nail down those times, but they'll be starting within the next 2 weeks, debuting their programs within the next 2 weeks. And Let's Buy Black365.com with host Nataki Cambon and, the brother that is with her is an attorney, and his name escapes me. I know she'll hang me. But the main host, one of the main hosts, is Sister Nataki Cambon with Let's Buy Black365.com. Their program will be on Mondays at 8 o'clock. Brother Talib is the attorney. That's her co-host, and Talib's last name escapes me. But Brother Talib, I'm sorry. I'll have it right the next time I announce the program. But the two hosts for Let's Buy Black365.com is Sister Nataki Cambon and Brother Talib. They'll be doing their programs on Monday evenings, 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock for Let's Buy Black365.com. A couple of more programs will be debuting probably by November the 1st. So the Time for Awakening Media family is growing with conscious individuals, grassroots folks ready to contribute and dispense their understanding of the events happening, looking for input from the listening audience, so we can come up with solutions to move our people forward. What we do, man. This Time for Awakening Media is all about finding solutions for our people to move forward. We've utilized this program to showcase several brothers and sisters from all over this country, whether they're columnists, college professors, historians, authors, all of these people analyze the problems and have come up with viable solutions, workable solutions. Some of them repeating some of the solutions that our ancestors left. So we do have ways to move our people forward. The thing is now, do we get involved or we just sit and, like we're watching a tennis match, watch things go back and forth between these white folks playing games and playing games with us especially. So, again, 5 new programs starting on Time for Awakening, and 2 more starting probably by November the 1st. So, Brother Richard, the family is growing, and it's a good thing.
Oh, man, and again, in this time, it's like very necessary to have the diversity of thoughts and input, you know, that the Time for Awakening Media platform is providing to the listening audience all over the world. So that's it's great to see. And I appreciate being a part of that, you know, watching, not just watching, being a part of the growth and development of a communication outlet. Let that, as you say, can, from my vantage point, Elliot, also be the advocacy of what is necessary. And when we're talking about providing those solutions, you know, we have to be clear that the things that we do are not, as you say, the things that are foolish, but things that are necessary to do in order to move our people forward, in order to move us forward, even as individuals.
Yeah, Brother Richard, you mentioned before I kind of showcased some of the new programs about the protests going on in St. Louis. And, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And it kind of coincides. It's not huge protests here in Philadelphia because it's a handful of activists. Brother Ike and Asa. And a few others that have really been stirring things up here in Philly. But it's a little different approach in St. Louis with activists there going in high-end malls in the commerce area of St. Louis, shutting it down. Their slogan, no justice, no profit. And they've been keeping the pressure on, which is... I think that when white folks study us, they say in their minds, and you can see it, that they say this in their minds because how they react to things. They figure that black folks will be angry and they'll do what they're going to do for a couple of days and then they'll go back to business as usual. The thing is now, these protests have been going on for a little over 2 weeks since that decision came out. So it seems like the pressure is staying on. You know, they don't expect, and I'll use as an example the Montgomery bus boycott. You know, that was over a year that black people didn't ride those buses in Montgomery. Now, it's a different dynamic now. But those things can be done again if they were done one time. It just takes a little, you know, and we can organize better now because they didn't have the internet and things of that nature, social media like we have now. It just took people... With a strong backbone, not to ride those buses, and our people didn't. They found other ways to get around the city, and it, sometimes when we do things, it's going to take some pain. But we just can't keep letting things go on like it is now. We got to do something different, and all that marching. And listen, I don't want to detract from some of the things that our ancestors did in the past. But that's why we got a mind. That's why the Almighty gives us a mind to analyze things we did in the past, look at the things that worked, the things that didn't work, and then do things different if they didn't work. You know, marching, sitting in and all that stuff, you know, that might have been effective. It might have been effective on in certain areas back then. But those days has passed. You know, it needs to be a different approach to some of these things. And some of these men and women are involved in certain areas of this country and different cities are approaching these things differently, Brother Richard.
And it's definitely necessary. And I think that one thing that struck me as I was watching this over, you know, especially over the last week, the evolution of what's going on in St. Louis, you notice you don't hear a big thing about it. You notice that you don't. I mean,
and you know why? And you know why, Brother Richard? You know why?
They don't want to promote it.
Exactly. They don't want it to spread. You're right. You're right.
You know. I mean, this is and the language because the I think it was the you played the clip I believe of the brother of the person who was slain and him saying that they were going to what they were that it wasn't going to just die, but the point of that they wasn't going to just it ain't about tearing up your own community either, and they recognize that. Ain't nobody gonna look out for him, and I think that point is like really important to bring up because showing that the media, the communication outlet, if it was looting and whatever, you'll have 99 stations.
Oh, they'd plaster that all over. Yes, exactly.
Saying the same thing, but here they're saying we're stopping your commerce by these protests, and I think they done locked up. Not I think it's one report that they done locked up. Over the week, 307 people, you know, and of those 143 were politicians, lawyers, religious clergy, and community members. Like, this is the beginning, but it's a mobilization. Elliot, I don't think we should, as you said, when we put this in historical context and look at it from a military strategy, historical strategy lesson, we have to understand that that's, you know, that's why I say that social networking, because they have to eventually move to become more and more organized and take that and get the political power to make sure that these people who are in place aren't in place again to make those kind of decisions. Now, we can't say anything about what's going on in St. Louis because we see it, as you said, what's going on there. But I think for when we look at Brother Asa and them in Philadelphia, and for those who are in Philadelphia to understand, you know, look at what's going on in St. Louis. Look at what's going on in other cities and say, well, what am I doing to support? And what is our end? Because we better have an end game.
I agree. Let's grab a couple of these callers here. Let's go to 267. 267. 267.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Brother Elliot.
How are you,
Brother
sir?
Elliot. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Richard, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm good. How are you doing now?
That's good. You know, I'm looking at the history at the beginning of these 13 colonies, which became states, which became now the United States of America. I'm looking at the origin of it. I'm looking at the gun, the alcohol, the disease, the racism. I'm looking at the colony, penal colony, that they had that was formulated by England. I'm looking at the scum of the earth that came here from England, the formulating of the colonies, moving the indigenous people out of this country, bringing in slaves, unfortunately, from another continent. Putting them in bondage, and their weapon was the gun. Was what has been the problem of America now, that gun, putting African-Americans in slavery, moving the indigenous people off their land, giving them smallpox as a form of disease, and alcohol, which is known as a hallucinogenic. And it sprouts out to working us for free. Time goes on. The Civil War comes about. Immigrants come from another country, which is another dynamic. The people who formulate this country who of what they call, what, Anglo-Saxon descent WASP, who feel as though they have a ticket as a brand to say, we're from England, our ancestors, and you're an Irish person, you're Italian, you're an immigrant, and making them a part of society as a third and fourth and fifth class. And all that going on with the racism, it sprouts out to this weaponry and its violence. This country was formulated on violence, slavery, the gun, disease, and it hasn't changed. And what we're dealing with now is a result of that. I don't know that I can say that the African, I'm talking about the African American in this country, understands the history of this country and where we're at now today, and the direction in which we should be going, and understand our position as black people. You have a guy who goes on the 32nd floor of a hotel in Vegas, busts out windows, able to bring heavy artillery and weaponry. He shoots out the window and kills approximately 58 to 59 people. The number changes from 58 to 59. If it's 59, he's 60. If it's 58, he makes 59. He's playing in this concert, and they look at him differently. In other words, if African Americans are killing each other in their communities, if the Nazi groups run over anti-Nazi group. She's run over by Nazis. She's against the Nazis. She's a part of Black Lives Matter in that group. Whatever part she was upon the opposite side of the Nazis. But they're making this guy out of an unblemished person. In other words, oh, he's a multimillionaire. Not only that, he helps his family out. He mails his girlfriend in the Philippines to $100,000. You know, that the kind of money that she could do with that to get a house. And he looked at, oh, he has a little problem. Insanity. And accepting the situation like, oh, this is just a little off. The violence in this country and how we're affected by it at being at the bottom of it needs to be discussed. Because they're not going to never get rid of the gun. I don't care how many NRA meetings you have, how many people are in Congress talking about, I heard a congressman say that he was going to use the example of tobacco and firearm to show them that what they're doing is, but listen, the gun ain't going nowhere. And just like he has guns as a white man, they got guns like that in West Virginia. They got them in Texas. They got them in the certain suburbs of Pennsylvania. And they're looking to shoot me and you. It has to be discussed. We black African Americans in this country have to know where we at, what we do, what we stand for, how we looked at, what do we think about each other, and how are we going to get ourselves together to protect ourselves and our communities with this violence, this education, this lack of economics, and this lack of leadership.
Yeah, well, listen.
This is looked at like, oh, this guy right here, he's just a mark in history now. They might take and dissect his brain to find out what it is, but he ain't looked at that. He's not looked at as an evil and bad guy. And if they want to talk about violence with African Americans, the mafia, the Italian mafia was against the Irish mafia. If you want to talk about blacks with gangs, drug gangs against each other, well, our Italians did it. And the Irish did it against each other. And the Jews did it with the Irish or the Italians before we even got to that point. They don't look at African Americans, they shoot themselves in the community because they're mimicking what the slave master had done all along in this country in the beginning of it.
Yeah, well, Tim, I can't say I don't disagree with anything you said. This man's love affair with the gun. You know, I'm gonna put it in these terms. You know, black folks have always been a spiritual people, even before we came to these shores. We taught the world spirituality, but with Europeans, it's different. And when I say different, They have a different mentality about them. They always wanted things. That's why when they started venturing off that continent of Europe, when they was thinking that the world was flat, they went in search of material things. And they used a gun. Well, it was a crude form of it, but they used advanced weaponry at that time to do it. That's his God, man. That's his God.
His birthday is coming right now. Christopher Columbus and his massacring.
Well,
how about that?
That's his God. Weapons is his God. When he went all over this world, he didn't come into nations and they welcomed him because of his benevolence or because of his great wisdom.
Right.
He went into all these countries and took it by force because he developed that gunpowder, even though he's seen gunpowder in Asia. He developed a weapon behind it, and it was used even at those times of 1492 or whatever, when he started venturing off that continent. That gave him distinct advantage over other nations, and he used it to the nth degree. That's been his God, man, and that's real. Weapons and weaponry is his God. His defense budget now, and it's been that way for I don't know how long, multi-billions of dollars is spent towards defense and weaponry. He sells them all over the world to all different countries. Anywhere in the world, if it's a conflict going on, either the United States supplies one side or the other, and sometimes he's supplying both sides. This type of sickness has spread worldwide. These are things that we have to fight against. These are things we can correct. We were the first people here on this planet. This man is a Johnny come lately. We can correct these things, but we have to do it first by developing our mind, because our mind has been assimilated into thinking like this man.
Elliot, if you're a student of history like you are, if you look at a 35,000 years period with us, and if you look at the 6,000 period with us, you compare Greece and Rome to Egypt. If in the early writings of Greek and the Roman Empire, you read a lot of Shakespeare, all the stuff are tragedies about them. There's always been lying and bloodshed and stealing. If you read early European history, he starts off lying, stealing, and bloodshed. Completely different from the Nile Valley civilization and the Rift Valley, Upper and Lower Egypt. Completely different in Mesopotamia. We had our situations then, of course, but it wasn't in a massive things that he did to other cultures, like dropping a bomb here, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, or going to Vietnam and training soldiers to make them believe that North Vietnam communism is bad. I mean, he has that worldwide amongst his culture. They fought amongst themselves, but they would stick together to get me and you. You have to understand this man, understand what's going on, and believe me. If they have a right to have a gun, I think we should be armed also.
And also, I think that we should also look at another angle, because I'm gonna evoke Bobby Wright's menticide, right? Or and the whole question of what you raised when you raised the point. Of the or not just the point of the origin of the Euro-American project, but the origin of the European civilization. When you go back to Greece and Rome, right? You're raising the question about the how they have demonstrated themselves and building themselves, right? And the question and at this point, we raise the question: is there a mental problem going on? And out of our particular history, those Africans around the world in diaspora, but us in North America specifically, you know, we have looked at it and said, America might have a mental health problem, because the barbarity that, you know, because the gun is just a manifestation of it, right? You have to have, Ellie, as you said, you got to have that in your mind to where you can take and castrate people. First of all, mentally take them out of the human family. And then physically castrate them. And then as you went through that journey, Tim, at some point, even created recreation. Recreation out of death and destruction of individuals and even whole communities. You know, my brother was mentioning about Tulsa, and we talked about Wilmington. I mean, these guys assemble like bees, like ants, to do death and destruction. We have to raise the question, is this a mentally healthy society if, and they, you know, like you said, they get this guy, you know, they, you know, subtly say, well, he has a mental problem. But we've been having a string of these guys.
Yes, we have.
But, I mean, they shooting schools, they shooting theaters. You know, it's a string of them. Yes.
And,
in the very beginning, of the origin of this civilization coming out of the cave, they automatically said that we got to find a way to take down this nation and get to the top. He did everything he could. His weaponry, and do not forget, like you said, his psychology, supplanting images, making the images of us white, changing the history to make him in the front of it, making everybody else second, making everybody in every culture he went to submit to his will. Whether it was through religion, whether it was through the gun, whether it was through an image, all that, man, all that wrapped up into one. I don't know if these people know who and what they're dealing with. And what he does is he alters another culture to come up under his. And he can make anything that don't look like him and make it what it is. Do we understand not only his weaponry, but his psychology? See, because African-Americans are basically healthy people. But it's his psychology. It's the white man's psychology. We got to have a lot of thinking, talking, listening, instructing for black people to get on the right track. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I've been affected because I'm here. But we have to really sit down and talk. See, these people are glorified like, it's so crazy. How could this happen? Well, the smartest of us know that it's bound to happen because we've been riding on a broken wheel the whole time. It's been there. And what are we going to do? How are we going to take care of it? And what are we going to do with the future of it? How are we going to get out of this situation? What are we going to do? How are we going to talk about it? And how are we going to safeguard ourselves and our babies and our next generation? Because people have been going on like usual. It's another day. It's another time. Another moment in time. You need conversation, man. We need catharsis. We got to analyze. We got to untwist it. We got to correct it. Oh, this is a normal thing. Oh, so they do it, it's okay. Oh, it's just another Timothy McVeigh, he made a bomb.
And that's why I would suggest that as we deal with the question about guns, that we recognize that for our vantage point, that as you said, making sure that our mental health in a sick society, in a mentally sick society that's reinforced by policy and procedure, that we have put in place something that, I have to be selfish, you know, but once you know somebody crazy and you living in the house with a crazy person, you either going to act crazy with them, which means then once you go outside.
Living in the house with crazy people, no. The white man has been a foster father to us in this country. Living in the house with him, he let you know this is his house. That's the thing. If you in the house, and your house, he's in this house, you're in the house next door. No. He let you know you're in his house. That's been the problem. We've been in his house.
And that's why the point is that we have to make sure that we have to do the things that make our mental health and also get out of this house, or at least that's the position. That's the historical position that we need to be built. We need to be, first of all, I recognize you crazy, and you got that. But I got to protect myself from you, myself, and I got to also build a house that will protect myself so that I don't have to be in your house that you created. And that's for some of us, that's a position, that's a healthy position. That's the only position. But
that's
others feel.
I agree. That's a start. That's a start. But
others of the American Project said, of African descent and history, has said, well, I'm going to try to heal you. Because if I heal you, then we can all get along. And I'm not there yet.
Right.
Brother Tim, thank you for your call, man. I'm sorry. Thank you for your call.
Indeed.
Let's grab another call here, 215 area code 215.
Hey, Brother Elliot. How you doing, my brother?
Hey, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Hey, Brother Richard. How you doing, good brother?
How you doing now? It's good, man.
I'm doing fine. Our praises be. Hey, man, that conversation I had with Brother Tim, man, I don't know where to begin, man. Y'all brothers cover such a wide range of things. But before I even talk about any of that, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, I want to say I welcome the Time for the Awakening shows that's coming up. Like you said, Brother Troy's show, the Professor Rogers show, and Brother Oshie and the think tank, the 365, you know, buyblack365.com, all the shows. I welcome to the Time for the Awakening family. I'm going to do my very best, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, to support those brothers and sisters as they come on and their shows move forward. Okay, Brother Elliot and Richard?
Thank you,
those sisters and brothers have my unwilling, unwavering support, okay?
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I'm going to spread the word verbally and any other way I can, electronically and everything, to make sure we can, you know, widen their audience and stuff, because I want them shows to be successful, because if they're successful, as well as y'all show successful, we as a people can be successful. So I'm going to definitely do my part. But I tell you, again, like I said when I first got on, Elliot and Richard, I don't know where to begin, because it's just, this white man, he is so damn crazy and stuff, man. It's just, you just don't know where to begin. I mean, if you notice something, Brother Ellen, Brother Richard, when this tragic event unfolded in Las Vegas last Sunday, as of many others like Brother Richard, so you astutely mentioned, Brother Richard, when these white men shoot up movie theaters, shoot up schools, kill children, and stuff like what happened to Sandy Hook. And this is one thing I agree with Mayor Kenney on. He was absolutely right when he said that he doubts if the killing of these people in Vegas is going to move Congress or the Senate, because like he said, if the killing of innocent white children in Sandy Hook didn't move these devils, I doubt if the killing of 59 more, when it was predominantly white people that got killed out there in Vegas, I doubt if this is going to move these people. Because, see, if you notice, Elliot and Richard, when these events happen, the white media, in a skillfully slimy way, they always try to act like it's some kind of aberration. Oh, this just does not happen. I mean, this guy, what he did was just so out of pocket. And like you just said, Richard, it's not out of pocket, because they do this all the time. Your typical serial mass murderer is a white man. And in some small cases, white women, like the white lady Sylvia Segers. I don't know if you and Richard remember, Elliot, she shot up the Springfield Mall several years ago, mm-hmm. killed several people and stuff. So even now and then, some of their own women slip out every now and then. But the typical killer is a white man, but they always try to act like this kind of aberrant. So when the James Holmes shot up the movie theater, when Timothy McVeigh and his boy blew up the Federal Building in Oklahoma, when the white boy shot up shot the politician, Kathy Gifford, and killed the white girl, and all that has happened over the years, they always try to act like it's an aberration. You go back to 1966, Charles Whitman, crazy white boy, so-called loner. He shot up the University of Texas in Austin, Texas, killed a whole bunch of people. So these white boys have been doing it from day one. When they flip out, they get depressed. They do whatever they call themselves doing it, or they get mad with the government, or they get mad with their wife. They just kill up everybody, you know what I mean? So this is who they are, you know what I mean? But again, white men always try to, you know, paint the narrative as if this is just a kind of aberration when it's not. This is America, and it's because of America's love affair with guns. If you look at the Final Call, it just came out, America's love affair with guns. This white man loves his guns. See, that was one thing that Obama said back in 08, and he caught a lot of flack for it, but in his little moment of wisdom, because they said a broken clock can be right twice a day, when Obama said that these white boys up in upstate Pennsylvania, they cling to their guns and their religion, their so-called version of Christianity.
Well, Joe, let me say something on that.
Sure, Elliot.
Mm-hmm. The gun is their religion. Mm-hmm. It is their religion. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll equate it like this. I hear black folks, and when they're talking about you know, the schools and things of that nature. And I know that you and Richard heard it. You will hear somebody say, well, you know, our schools was a lot better until they took prayer out of our schools. Now, I know you've heard black folks say that.
Oh, sure, I have, Ellie.
Now, it's two things wrong with that statement. Number one, how do you let anybody take prayer out of your schools if you want to have your children have a moment of meditation or libations or whatever? You should never let anybody dictate taking something out of your school that your children got to deal with. That's a problem in itself. But what I'm getting at is this Supreme Court made a decision to take prayer out of schools, which is supposedly dealing with their God, so to speak. But they don't want to take a gun out of these people's hands. So what really is their God? The gun, I'm telling you, to them, the gun made them. Listen, they'll say that. You hear that God bless America and all that other stuff. That in the back of their minds, what enabled them to get everything they achieved was the gun. It didn't have nothing to do with any God as far as they're concerned.
That's true.
If they could bow down, it almost like that old movie, The Planet of the Apes, where they showed some humans, they was bowing down to a atomic bomb. You remember that movie, Richard?
Yeah.
If they could bow down to an image of an AK-47, that's what you would see.
No argument there, Brother L. You spot on and stuff. See, this is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was trying to tell us. You have to understand the mindset of this man. This is a sick human being, calling him a human being. I may be using the word human being very loosely there. But, these are some sick people, man. They got a mindset like no other human beings that this has ever been produced on this earth and stuff, man, because they think like no other people think. Like, for example, this coming Monday, as you well know, Ellen Richard, they're going to celebrate celebrate the birthday of the murderer, you know? And you know who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
This coming Monday, they'll celebrate the birthday of a murderer. And here's a man that was so bad. See, one thing about these devils, they keep the meticulous records of their evil. He was so bad that his own son, Columbus' own son, said how brutal his father was to the Native Americans. His own son said this, you know? I mean, and he was so bad that when he got back to Spain, Queen Isabella put him in jail. You know, this guy was a thug. He was a murdering scumbag, you know? But white folks have no problem honoring him, putting him up on a having a holiday for him. This is why the brother Michael Cord made a good point. He said he's been putting pressure on city council, especially the people of color on city council, the blacks and Latinos, to stop celebrating this man's honoring this man's birthday, because this man should not be celebrated no more than King Leopold or Hitler or any one of these European white men murderers. None of them bastards should be celebrated. And then we got to continue to educate our people and stuff, because these people glorify murder. Like you take the national anthem, for example. You got white folks upset because the brothers, you know, nailing down and stuff like that. But the brothers, all them brothers when they sit there and say, like, you're a brother now, Elliot, you talked about it, they'll say, well, it's not about the flag, it's about police brutality. And that's all well and good, too. But you should tell them devils, look, it is about the flag, too. Oh, it's about police brutality and injustice, too. So damn it, we protesting your anthem, too, because we ain't bowing no allegiance to this murderer. Francis Scott Key was a brutal racist slave owner. He brutalized slaves and everything, and this man was no damn good. So no, yes, it's about that too, but it's also about the flag too, and the white woman that helped put the flag together. She had a slave. So all these people that's associated with that flag and the anthem, they're a bunch of white racist supremacists. So these brothers got to get some backbone and start telling them devils, look, we ain't just talking about no police brutality, which is definitely paramount to what we're doing. But yeah, since you're going to bring it up, yeah, we protesting the flag too and the anthem. You know, they got to get to that point where they get some backbone. Because you were never, Ellen and Ricky, you were never ask no Jewish person to salute and stand up and put hand over their heart and pledge allegiance to the Nazi national anthem. Why the hell should black people do it for the American one? You know what I mean?
But the thing, you know, as you said that, Brother Joe, the question that came in my mind, and even in listening to Brother Cord, lay out the atrocities, is that these guys, and using Christopher Cologne as an example, mm-hmm. if it wasn't for these guys, Isabella, i.e. Spain, would not be wealthy, which is a part of the expansion of Western civilization, European Western civilization.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll, at a certain point, give their what we call criminal or what we call psychopath, they'll give mm-hmm. that psychopath up, you know, especially mm-hmm. after they didn't stop him when he was there. He was sending back reports. No, oh, he
sure.
was sending back the gold.
That's
they
true.
Didn't stop him then.
No, you know, you're right, Richard. You're right.
You know, so these guys, when they do these things, you know, and if we stay true to our position, that it's true to our position from the perspective of it's our moral imperative to say this is not right behavior.
Mm-hmm.
This is not just behavior between ourselves or for others in relationship to us. So, and what you, that means either you just crazy and we just have to say that you crazy, and the people who support you in the beginning, even if they don't support you in the end, they got to be crazy too, because they sitting around watching and benefiting from insanity.
Well, you know, Brother Richard, you made some good points, because I'll close these last couple of comments. Well, you look at this country with Germany. Now the Nazis did all these atrocities that they did under Hitler, the brown shirts, you know, the Third Reich, all these people. But what did America do? They took one of Hitler's right-hand men, and not just one, but a few of them, they brought them to America and helped them with their space program, you know? See, that's what the point is, that these white folks...
IBM gave them the calculator to be able to...
That's right.
...do some of the calculations while in Germany, so...
Exactly. So these benefit. White folks... You're absolutely right, Richard. These white folks have no problem, man, you know, coexisting with their own devils, who they call murderers and terrorists, or what you want to call their fellow white murderers and stuff. But at the end of the day, white men think like white men. So even though they tell you how bad Hitler is, but they had no problem, like you say, you know, bringing Hitler's right-hand men over here and helping them build up IBM and, like you say, the space program, all these other entities that these people do. So these people show time and time again. And I don't know why people haven't figured this stuff. Now you're dealing with some sick people here. And then you look at how with O.J. Now O.J. just got free. Now O.J. been bashed already. He's been out of jail since, last Sunday, right? They done beat up on O.J. more than they beat up on his white boy. They killed 59 people and stuff. And you notice with O.J., what did they do, Richard and Elliot? They, the famous Time Magazine, famous picture where they colored O.J., made him look darker, to look so-called more menacing or whatever like that. Well, here this white boy kills 59 people, and the narrative is that, well, you know, he made a lot of money in real estate, and they glossed over the fact, like Brother Elliot said, they glossed over the fact that his father was a notorious bank robber. They just glossed that over. That was like a throw-in line, you know. They just glossed that over. Oh, and, you know, he gave $100,000 to his Filipino girl. He wired that, and, you know, and he gave money to his family, his brothers and stuff. He did this. They put the humanized this cracker. You know, he did all this rotten stuff, but he still put a human. Where's OJ? You got the skank out there in Florida, the Attorney General Bondi, whatever that skank's name is. She talking about something. Well, we don't want this murderer living without here in Florida, and ain't a damn thing she can do about it. Once OJ gets over his probation period, which is he can live anywhere he want to. and stuff. I mean, that's on OJ. If you want, I wouldn't move to that racist state anyway. That's beside the point. He has the right to live where he wants to. There ain't nothing she can do about it. But I would like to see some of them black politicians. This is what you always say, Elliot. Where's these black politicians when you need them? Some of them brothers and sisters down the store, they need to ask that woman, well, you don't want OJ living here. Are you okay with George Zimmerman living here? He killed the unarmed 12-year-old young, 13-year-old young man. Are you okay with that murderer living in Florida? You know what I mean? See, these niggas got to get some backbone and start challenging these bigots when they say all that crazy stuff, you know? But see, that's the problem. We don't have enough of them. We don't have enough Cynthia McKinney's and people like that, and that brother, the Dave Richardson, rest his soul, and that brother, Elliot, like you said, that out in Louisiana, that brother and stuff that they got with that white boy on the congressional floor. See, we don't have enough of them strong sisters and brothers in politics, you know? They challenge them. And like you said, Elliot, and I close with this, like you said, here in Philadelphia, we got Asa and other Isaac and other brothers. But like you say, if imagine we had the kind of support. Like if in other words, Ace and Brother Isaac and all the other sisters and brothers protesting this police brutality, if they had the kind of support and people like you see in St. Louis, consistent, they could go downtown right now, like say Ellen Richard, and shut down the so-called gallery, shut down, you know, the King of Prussia mob. Then I mean, just sit there and cause unrest, say no justice, no problem. Imagine we could do that. Like you said, Elliot, the people, the white folks in St. Louis in the business community, they finding out these people are not joking because they thought it would be last a couple of days. They'll blow off some steam. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's been 2 weeks now, and they still, you know, are having protests. That's what it got to be. Got to be consistent. Because like you said, Dr. King showed you in 55, you can shut down a bus company for a whole year. You go carpool, you know, you pick people up to go to work, school, whatever like that. We can do that then. It can damn sure be done now. But like you said, this is what needs to be done here in Philadelphia. It's a shame that Brother Asa and Isaac and all the other committed system brothers don't have this kind of support here in Philly protesting these brutal cops murder and brutalizing our people, what you see in St. Louis. That would be a beautiful thing if you had that same level of support here. No question about that, you know.
Joe, I want to thank you for your call, man.
Thanks, Brother Elliot. Thank you, Brother Richard.
All right, take it now.
We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we're going to add to our conversation Minister Nathaniel Jordan, the Minister of Health for the Universal African People's Organization, headed by one of our former guests, Zaki Berruti. We'll be right back to talk with Brother Jordan after a brief break. And you can join the conversation, too, by dialing 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We'll be right back.
Tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services, representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
What is in 1 million brothers and sisters who are tired of the same old rhetoric, the same old leaders, the same old ways of dealing with political and economic empowerment? If you realize that nobody's going to save black people but us, if you understand that no existing political party prioritizes the best interests of African Americans as a collective, if you believe that leadership is as leadership does, and this means that the best leaders for the black collective must come from the ranks of those who place and hold the best interests of black people foremost and uttermost, if you understand that black people must develop the mindset and the will to finance their own racial uplift organizational efforts, then get involved with 1 million conscious black voters and contributors. The movement is now. Go to www.iamoneofthemillion.com. That's www.iamoneofthemillion.com.
Hey, did y'all see the stuff I posted on my wall?
No, it didn't even show up in my news feed.
Man, I'm done with social media. All the injustice and brutality going around, and it's like they're trying to suppress our voice. We're trying to get the message out there, and you can't even share empowerment and what's going on around the country either.
No, don't be dumb with social media, though. It's a tool, and there is a place where we have a voice. It's a Let's Buy Black 365 social network. You do anything you would on any other social network. Post pictures, videos, status updates, share resources and community news. But on Let's Buy Black 365, it's a platform for us and by us to tell our messages.
Whoa, that's like a digital underground railroad.
What's the name of that site again?
It's letsbuyblack365.com.
Yeah, I heard about that. It's all about networking, and you get points, right?
Yeah, the more you network, post, and share, the more points you get. Plus, you get points for posting pictures, sharing information, attending community events, and inviting others to network with you on the app.
Wow, that's all I need to know. I'm gonna go download that app right now.
Now, better yet, let me invite you so I can get some points. It's all about empowerment and solutions, y'all.
Yeah, that's what's up. I'm all in.
Let's do it. Let's share our stories.
Let's buy Black365.com.
Da 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 da
Welcome back to time for an awakening. We're going to transition a little bit into a special guest that's joining us. And Brother Rigid, we was just talking about St. Louis and what happened down there. And when anytime we talk about the St. Louis and the Ferguson area, my mind always goes to Brother Zaki Baruti of the Universal African People's Organization. Brother Baruti told me a couple of months ago that he wanted me to bring the health minister on for the Universal African People's Organization. And we have him tonight on the program. The health minister, Nathaniel Jordan, is a certified health coach. He's also a master trainer, holding three different training certifications via the National Federation of Professional Trainers, and is a motivational health speaker and part of the Universal African People's Organization. I want to welcome in Minister Nathaniel Jordan. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing good, brother. How are you doing? And can you hear me clearly?
Oh, yes, sir. We can hear you loud and clear.
Good, good. thank you for bringing me on, Brother Book.
Brother Jordan, I want to welcome you to Time for Awakening with myself and my co-host, Brother Richard.
Yes, how you doing, brother? How you, Brother Jordan?
I'm doing good, Brother Richard. Thank you.
Great.
Brother Jordan, before we kind of go into some of the things that that kind of brought you to the program, tell our listening audience a little bit about yourself, because there's some questions here that I need some answers from you, but I'll deal with that in our conversation, because one of your DVDs here, I want to talk about that. But go ahead, give us a little introduction.
Sure. So I'm from St. Louis, Missouri, born and raised, and I was raised in unfortunately, an environment that's almost extinct. I had a very strong father, married to my mother. They produced seven children together. My father was very strong, so he pretty much, since I didn't want to go to college, he pushed me out of the home, and I was and I went into the Marines at a young age of 18 years old. I served for 4 years, then I came out, and then unfortunately went right into the racist criminal justice system for 7 years. It was during that time I reached a weight of 260 pounds at high blood pressure, and I learned about the natural means to reversing disease. All the men in my family die in their 50s and 60s from strokes and heart disease. They call it the Jordan curse. That's how bad it is in my family, where it's a belief that once a man in my family reaches their 50s, you will have a stroke and heart attack and end up dead in your 60s. So I lost 100 pounds, reverse heart disease, the criminal justice system. I got fed up with the racism and the criminal justice system. I always tell people, if you're a good cop, you're a bad cop. And if you're a bad cop, you're a good cop. And so the pressure, when I became a good cop morally, which means I was a bad cop internally, the pressure from internal, it forced me, you know, I decided to leave and focus on helping our people in the most underlooked element in our revolution, and that's our extremely poor health. as a people, extremely poor and getting worse. And that's what I've decided to become, a minister of wellness for our people, for Black people, the Ministry of Wellness, Inc. And I came under Zaki Baruti. He heard me speak at Juneteenth parade, and he understands the importance of it. And I'm also trying to assist him one-on-one with some health challenges he's having. So this is what I'm doing now, full-time minister of wellness for Black America.
Brother Jordan, let's I might as well get to this right now. Now, I'm not obese. I don't think I'm 6'4", and I weigh exactly 200, about 61 pounds. Now, I looked at this, the publication you put out, the author of losing 100 pounds in 100 days.
Yes, sir.
So, in a synopsis, Brother Jordan, tell me how I can lose 100 pounds in 100 days. And I'll get busy doing it right now. Because I want to lose some weight. Because I always walked around at maybe like a 240.
Right.
But I think over the past maybe 2-3 years, I've gained about 15-20 pounds. So I'm right around 261 now. I carry it well because I'm 6'4", but I want to lose some of this. And if I could lose, well, I don't know whether I can lose 100. But tell our listening audience about the loss of 100 pounds in 100 days.
Right. It's understanding that we are what we eat. And we've lost touch with that. We've lost touch with the reality that everything that we put in our mouths is just like putting fuel into our vehicles. You know, so ain't none of us in our right mind will put water into a vehicle and then get mad when it breaks down, you know, or blame it on the genetics of the vehicle. But we poison our bodies with the wrong type of fuel, and then we blame it on genetics. You know, so we have to understand that we are what we eat. Food is supposed to give us two things, calories that comes in the form of macronutrients, protein, carbohydrates, and fat. But more importantly than calories are the natural medicines that we're supposed to be getting with our food, but we're not. And that's your micronutrients, vitamins, minerals, and phytochemicals. There's over 20,000 of them. And they are very important when you're talking about brain health, bone strength, keeping your blood vessels pure, keeping your cells clean so they don't form tumors and give you cancer. Micronutrient density. Our health is dependent upon the amount of micronutrients we consume per calories. And the only way that you can arm yourself to protect against all of these diseases from the white man's standard American diet is eating a high amount, is eating a plant-rich diet. And so when you start eating a plant-rich diet, the weight comes off effortlessly because excess body fat is a disease. It is a sickness. Most people believe it's just a cosmetic issue. That excess body fat is excreting estrogen, which is lowering for men, is lowering your testosterone. It's causing, you know, the lethargy, the mental fall, you know, the erectile dysfunction. Excess body fat is very dangerous. So the medicines in plant foods, one of the first things they do is attack and destroy body fat. So my client that lost that much weight, that's what he did. He got in tune with true hunger, and he started eating the foods meant for the human species, and that weight flew off. And I got a sister now. She's about to complete her 6 weeks with me, and she's at a little over 20 pounds. Weight loss so far, and she's just done 6 weeks, so she's doing a tremendous job.
Mr. Jordan, talk. Give our listening audience just a little bit. You're experienced at this, but somebody just starting out, what would you recommend that they eat for breakfast, for lunch, and their average dinner? Because now, me personally, and I'll do it myself personally. I don't, because I was raised, I didn't eat pork. I was raised a Hebrew. So we didn't eat pork, and pork was never served in my home. But my problem is, I run a business, and a lot of times I come in late, and I eat late. And if I don't do anything after I eat, you know, that's I, you know, sit around, lay around, either read or end up watching the television, and, you know, there comes the extra pounds. So, you know, I don't think I have a bad diet, but I think the late eating is my Achilles heel. But talk about your average breakfast, which you would recommend for people, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Well, the most important thing for people to eat every day is a large salad. A large salad for lunch every day. That's the most important meal of all. That beats breakfast and dinner. Every single day, I want the salad to be so big that it's in the entire meal. I want you to cut up, you know, some dark green leafy vegetables like romaine lettuce. I want you to shred some cruciferous vegetables like kale, bok choy, cabbage, or arugula, because those are very potent cancer-fighting vegetables. I want you to add some chopped onion, tomatoes, carrots. I want you to put in some fresh fruit, chop up an apple and put it in there. Chop up some grapes or some mangoes, a huge salad with a homemade dressing like some pineapples and almonds and balsamic vinegar and oranges, and blend that up in a blender and make a nice salad dressing, homemade. And that's the most important, that you should get filled up every day from a salad. Less than 5% of all Americans eat the recommended amount of fruits and vegetables that the wicked racist government even recommends. So that's telling you how poor our diet is. So that's number one. Now, once you master the salad with the homemade dressing in it, then we can start filling in the other foods, because every day we should be, there's a class of fruits and vegetables that have been scientifically proven to cure every single disease that's destroying our people. And there's an acronym for it called the G-bombs: greens, beans, onions, mushrooms, berries, and seeds. So once you get the salad in, then for breakfast, you know, you can have something light, you know, like some steel-cut oats and loaded with berries and a little bit of flaxseed, which, you know, reduce death from women with breast cancer, reduced it by 64%, just a little bit of flaxseed. So that could be a nice breakfast or a smoothie. Then dinner, you could have a bowl of soup with some beans and some cooked mushrooms, very potent anti-cancer foods. You can make delicious recipes, even dessert. You can make ice cream. You can make cookies. You know, put in that book, in all the books that I have, I put in delicious five-star recipes. And once your tastes change over from the Frankenfoods, it opens up a whole new world to all the thousands of different tastes, you know, in the whole natural plant foods that, you know, we should be eating and that our people used to eat before we were introduced to all this industrialized junk food.
Brother Richard?
Now, y'all, I don't know if y'all are hit my... Y'all trying to hurt me in here now. Okay. I don't know. But, you know, I appreciate what you're saying, Minister Jordan, because I'm one, being a lazy man, I don't particularly cook. I live alone, but I juice. So I'm listening to you. So what, you know, and hopefully this is a helpful way, you know, to just foster the conversation, because I'll juice, have the, right now it's kale and collards, and somebody turned me on to putting sweet potatoes, and with pineapples and bananas and apples, because it cuts it. Or I'll put beets. I'll cut up beets and what's that, parsley and the parsley root, and put it in the juicer. But I hear juicing, because you lose you don't have the fiber, is not a healthy thing to do. Is that true?
Yes and no. Too much juicing is unsustainable, you know, so we can't live off of juicing. But for people with cancer, you know, about if you do a couple glasses of 4 to 6 ounces of freshly squeezed vegetable juice, a third of it could be cruciferous vegetables like some kale, then a few ounces of like a cucumber, a few ounces of like a carrot, a beet to sweeten it. For cancer, people with cancer and autoimmune diseases, is very important because, like you said, without the fiber, the nutrients, especially when you juice it fresh and drink it right there, the nutrients can pour right into the body. But doing it beyond that and trying to use that as a way to get around from changing the diet over to a whole foods, plant-based diet that requires chewing, you know, that it's just it's unsustainable. But there are – yes, sir.
No. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, I apologize.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, there are, you know, you can do the, you know, I mentioned the gourmet recipes because I just want people to understand there's no loss of pleasure when we stop killing ourselves with food and start eating right. The pleasure is increased, you know, mentally, physically, and spiritually, you know, when we start feeding our brains and our bodies correctly. And then the food is delicious, but there definitely is. Are very quick, you know, recipes and quick ways. You know, the diet can be very simple without too much time, you know, spent in the kitchen. But, you know, then again, we either spend the time in the kitchen, you know, preparing and eating the foods that our creator made, or we'll be spending time in the white man's medical industry, and he'll be trying to put us on toxic drugs. And every single one of their prescription medications cause cancer. I just want everybody to know that if you're taking a prescription medication, you are taking a cancer-causing toxin, and you are being a part of the experimentation and extermination of our people via the medical industry.
And if I can, you know, because I went to like that juicing is like what I carry in the morning, you know, which when I go to work. But I also, and I'm wanting to get your feedback on this process, you know, in the sense of, especially as it get cold, and you may not know, but I'm not one of them cold body people. But so I take oatmeal with, you know, the oats, and with the dried cranberry, raisins, and now cherries, and you know, kind of cook that into it. You know, because at work is kind of something I can be able to mix up, and it adds, and I might put the guava, you know, for sweetener, because I know I am a sweet junkie, so I use the guava. So I'm asking, and I heard that even dried fruit, too much dried fruit might not be a good thing to do. Would you agree with that?
I would. Yeah, too much dried fruit. I would. Especially when you're trying to reverse disease or obesity, we want to stick to fresh fruit. But even within fresh fruit, there's a hierarchy, and the most powerful fruits. When you're talking about reversing obesity, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, cancer, autoimmune disease, the best types of fresh fruit to eat are berries, blueberries, strawberries, blackberries, raspberries, cherries. Those are the top hierarchy in the fruit kingdom, you know. So we want to get it to where if we're doing a smoothie or we're doing juicing, we want to get it to where we can enjoy the natural sweetness from berries or a banana, and that should be sufficient, which is possible. It just takes, you know, a period of, you know, a couple weeks. And you're on the right mindset. You mentioned about being a, you know, a sweet junkie, and absolutely, that's the biggest and most insidious part of the standard American diet is that it's been intentionally designed to be so addicting that we have millions of our people where, you know, we will get so angry, you know, over in protest over other aspects, rightfully so, you know, of white supremacy, but the facet of white supremacy that's causing the most destruction and harm to us on a daily basis, we don't want to address that head on because that would mean tackling these foods that have become comfort foods for us. And we're attached to them mentally. And I want everybody to understand as listening that that attachment that we have to foods that are causing mental illness and cancer in our children, that's not by accident. The foods are designed to be that way.
Minister Jordan, and that's a good segue into the next thing I wanted to bring up. You did a summit with the Universal African People's Organization on violence. You were part of that summit and speaking. I noticed on one of your announcements that you sent me, you have I guess it was a seminar that you did, Genocide by Diet, how the racist elite is using foods to create mental illness. Go into that, because we see that among a lot of our inner city neighborhoods, that it's been a scourge of just, you know, some of our people acting out and perpetrating violence on one another, violence on our elders, and even on young people. Talk about how that relates to the diet. What you got the floor. Talk about that.
Yes, sir. The most complex structure known to humanity is under attack, the human brain. We are making a terrible mistake in detaching mental fog, aggression, depression, anxiety, and suicide from nutritional inadequacies. And that detachment, as you mentioned, it is causing a tremendous amount of suffering and death in our communities. Our brain is very sensitive to nutritional inadequacies. For instance, fried foods are extremely destructive to our brain. Now, I want you to remember, we got these KFC, these KF Death Shacks, and all these other, the churches, you know, chickens, you know, fried foods, raised skyrockets omega-6 oils, which are inflammatory oils to the brain. They're so inflammatory that they block the production of serotonin, which is the hormone needed to handle stress. See, the brain produces hormones to help us to handle stress, to help us to solve problems, to help us to be able to forgive each other, to be kind to each other. The brain is a chemistry machine, but it cannot work if it does. It cannot work and give us the proper emotions we need to care about each other if we're not feeding it with the foods that will give it the nutrients it needs, such as omega-3 fats, ALA, DHA, and EPA. Those are very important fatty acids for the brain. We're eating a diet that destroys the functions of the brain. So therefore, when your brain isn't working right, the foods we eat block blood flow to the brain, so you're not getting oxygen to the brain, so the brain can't work. So if the brain can't work, here you have a 16-year-old kid and he's angry. He already has bad family problems and everything else going on. Now the boy's brain can't even function right. He can't even think right to work himself out of the situation. So he becomes depressed. He gets angry. He shoots the person next to him when they get in an argument. Or he hangs himself because he just can't handle the stress in life. And then we have and then as time goes on, the brain just goes completely haywire. And now we have kids suffering dementia and Alzheimer's or becoming full-blown insane. And this is all related, directly related to the malnutrition of the brain. Your plant foods provide the brain with the omega-6 to omega-3 balance, which should be 4-to-1. You should have a ratio of 4-to-1 omega-6 to omega-3 or less, should be 1-to-1. Our people are at 25 and over, sometimes 40-to-1 is the ratio in the black community, when the ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 should be no more than 4-to-1. And that is extremely dangerous. So we're talking about our children are walking around with extreme brain damage, and it's causing an epidemic of violence and suicide and aggressive behavior and autism and ADHD. And it's difficult. And then parents, the mothers, the foods also damage our DNA, which is the building blocks of our body. But junk foods, when you build a child from the womb or before, and the building blocks are being built from fake foods that never even existed throughout humanity, you're dealing with a damaged, mutated DNA, a compromised DNA, damaged genetics. So the child comes out with cancer. He comes out with mental illness. And then he grows up and he passes that on to his children and his children. And then you have our people, we are buying into the myth that, oh, well, it's just genetics. Well, that's the same thing that the white people are saying is justifying exterminating us and imprisoning us. So we're eating a diet style that's turning us into a race of mentally and physically ill mutants.
If I can, I wanted to interject this article to reinforce the need for us to understand that very powerful and important point in relationship to what we're feeding off of. Because when you mentioned KFC and these here businesses that are feeding us, and we're thinking and the effect from it, it's talking about. It's saying in a recent leap of the lab-grown meat, clean meat company Memphis Meat announced that it had a complete $17 million Series A fundraising round. Now, the people who are raising this, the people who are, this article is relating to, is that Bill Gates and Richard Branson, who owns an airline, both billionaires, are funding this here Memphis Meats. Memphis Meat has been developing real meat grown directly from animal cells as a way to bypass the various complications associated with traditional animal agriculture. With their lab grown clean meat, they aim to minimize meat environmental impact, preserve animal welfare, and produce meat that is safer to eat than traditionally farmed meat. So I just thought that was important, that reemphasize the point that you're making in relationship to what is being fed to us, and what you're bringing up is the effect. And here they're talking about growing a business that is going to supply even more of this.
Right. Yeah, Bill Gates already is on record saying that if you vaccinate, that's a way for depopulation. We know our black boys, the CDC hid evidence that vaccines give us 400% higher autism rate in our black boys. And that's why we see, if you just go inside of a public school and you see whole tables now of our boys with full-blown mental illness, and the rest of them, you can see the mental illness and the obesity. We are truly losing the next generation, and we have to start changing our diet. And I have a full presentation on Genocide by Diet, Brother Booker. And yesterday I started calling, 100 black men, each branch. I started going down the list and trying to just convince them that, and asking them if, at events or anything where our people are gathered is just critical. I have a whole presentation compiled. It would take me about 90 minutes and I could really motivate and give our people the information that we need. And so that's one of the missions that I'm on, to try to, get, the proper platform, because that is an extremely important presentation and information concerning how, we keep trying to turn this is more now than just heart disease and obesity. Which is still a terrible problem in our communities, but this is about the destruction of our brain and the complete rewiring of our DNA and the mutantization of our genetics through junk foods, and we must address this now and educate all of our people and start supporting our black farmers who are trying to grow healthy food for us and our black chefs, you know, who are trying to show us that, hey, we can make healthy, plant-rich foods and we can make this taste delicious, and it's time to change now. But unfortunately, because of food addiction, me as a minister of wellness, I'm facing a lot of resistance in people wanting to, you know, really tackle this issue. Because we love our food. We love our food, and food is addicting, and it's something that, you know, we just don't want to change. 300 black people die every day from heart disease. More black people are lynched from heart disease every 15 days than the Ku Klux Klan lynched us in all the recorded lynchings of the NAACP. I've done the math. 500 black people die every day. Only two of those deaths come from non-whites. We're killing ourselves with the diet that we're eating, and then most of the other deaths are coming from black-on-black crime, which is linked to poor nutrition. Early in life, scientific studies have gone in prisons, have took away the junk food, and the behavior in prisons have changed just from making minor changes in the diet. And they've done the same thing in youth schools. We have to, you know, address it. And if I have an audience of 90 minutes, you know, I can convince enough of our people and our concerned parents to change, to where it would, you know, start a revolution. And hopefully as time goes on, you know, that can be the case before it's too late.
Minister Jordan, let me, I want to read something from this published report. And it talks about the experiment that was done on our people and the subsequent findings from the experiment. Now, that's my term that I'm using. But once I start reading, the listening audience will understand where I'm going. There was a report, it was an article in the Final Call.
Brother, you're coming in muffled on your end. I don't know if you can still hear me, but you're very muffled on my end.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
I can. It's still muffled.
Okay. Let's make a little adjustment here. How's that?
Okay, that's a little bit better.
Good. Okay. All right. Good now?
Yes, sir.
Good. Okay. I want to read from this final call.
It started again earlier.
It did?
I hear it. Just try. Yeah, try it again. Excuse me.
Okay. Let me read from this Final Call article. The October 3rd article in the Final Call. It says fetal deaths up 58% since Flint water crisis, and pregnancies down. The Flint water crisis has caused fetal deaths to jump 58%, while birth rates in the area have dropped 12%, a new study suggests. The study by assistant economics professors David Sulsky at the Kansas University and Daniel Grossman of West Virginia University examined local and state health records comparing Flint to the rest of Michigan between 2008 and 2015. The 2014 Flint water crisis, when the city of Flint switched its water supply from the Detroit Water and Sewer Department to the Flint River in a money-saving effort, officials failed to treat the water, causing dangerous levels of bacteria in the pipes to corrode, many of which made from lead. The causes of cases of Legionnaire's disease also increased in the area at this time, with 12 people dying as a result. Lead exposure can cause brain damage in children who are at risk of developing and developmental delays, lower IQs, and behavioral issues. It can damage the fetus development and cause miscarriages and stillbirths. Fertility can also be affected. The study examined birth rates and found that Flint's numbers fell off a cliff and the rest of the cities stayed pretty much constant, says Professor Sulsky to the Detroit Free Press. The study found fetal deaths increased by 58% in Flint since April of 2014, the available state statistics only cover deaths after 20 weeks, and which would take place in hospitals, so the available data was limited. This represents a couple of hundred fewer children born that otherwise would have been born, says Professor Sulsky of Kansas University. Babies born since the switch of the water was close to 150 grams lighter and gained less weight. They also were born half a week earlier. The study found a slightly higher ratio of female births after the crisis. Male fetuses were more fragile, according to the other studies. The statistics are similar to those found in the study by Mark Edwards of Virginia Tech on fetal deaths and birth rates in Washington, D.C., after the residents there were exposed to lead drinking water from 2000 to 2004. So we see here that it was basically experiments done on our people in urban areas and how lead would affect them. Minister Jordan, talk about how we can, especially people in these affected cities, how can maybe they can detox or do something to reverse these effects of lead on the human body?
Look, green leafy vegetables can bind to and flush out heavy metals from the body. That's been scientifically proven. Matter of fact, sulafrine, that's a medicine in broccoli, and that can and that has been found recently to cause great regression in autism, which is the poisoning of the neurological system from the lead and mercury and aluminum in vaccines. So lead can be flushed out with green leafy vegetables, but once again, in our urban cities like Flint, Michigan, remember, all Americans, including whites, they only eat, only 5% of 300 million people even eat the recommended amount of fruits and vegetables according to the government. And so if you go by my standards, what we should be eating is not even 1%. So that would be the diet. The diet would be the same diet for preventing and reversing cancer and heart disease would be the same diet to prevent and reverse autism. That's reversible. And the damage to the DNA can be repaired. So lead can be flushed out. They would need to juice, you know, like I was telling Brother Richard, juicing freshly green vegetables. Our people have to start growing our own food. We have farmers that need our support that wants to teach us how to grow organic food. We have to stop depending on our enemies for food supply and complaining when we don't have access to fruits and vegetables. We have the technology to grow our own organic food. Even if we're living in the middle of Harlem, there is technology that exists to where we can have food freedom. And so that will be the diet to get rid of the lead. It can be done. Lead is a metal. Even mercury, and that's the hardest one. Thimerosal, mercury, and I believe aluminum is very hard to flush out. But it can be done. It can be done. Dark, leafy, green vegetables. And it's best to do it organic, which is why, you know, we should be growing our own food. But if a child, you take a child that's lead poisoning and you put them on a six-month diet of nutritional excellence with the juicing and the exercising and getting them away from, I love how you said the taillight vision and, you know, get them outside and get them out in the sun and living like our people used to live, you know, then it can be undone. It can be undone. So absolutely the damage can be undone, but we're facing the food deserts, which are intentional, you know, in places like Flint, Michigan. But again, we have to just, we can't just sit and complain and wait on the government. I mean, the government wants to exterminate our people. They always have. So we have to take power in our own hand. And once again, you can grow vegetables inside your home. And we have black farmers that we need to support. And we have black chefs that want to make our people healthy food, but I've talked to them and they complain and say that our people don't want to change.
Minister Jordan, because you talked about green leafy vegetables, is it important, just say for somebody that likes collard greens or kale or whatever, but they always cook the greens. I mean, is it, I know it's always best to eat things raw, but I mean, how is it cooked? I mean, it, as long as they're as long as they consume the greens, is that the important thing, or whether it's cooked or raw?
Do both. There's benefits for both.
Okay.
You know, so there's some nutrients that are more absorbed. Now, the benefits of raw, yeah, that's why the salad is the main dish. And then that takes care of your raw because the isothiocyanate is formed when glucosinolates mix with the myrosinase. That's just medicines I'm naming. And those foods, that medicine is broken down from the raw. So you want to blend, chop, or chew it raw. But you can get, like, tomatoes, for instance, lycopene, of extremely potent anti-disease medicine in tomatoes. Tomatoes are actually better cooked than they are raw. So you want to do both. You want to do, I always tell people, you want to do a half to a pound of cooked green vegetables, lightly cooked green vegetables, and then your large raw salad. So on my A-plus days, I'm doing a huge raw salad. And then I love, for instance, string beans. And I might, you know, see flavor up, you know, string beans, any flavoring outside of the, you know, the salt, you know, which causes high blood pressure. 50% of our people have high blood pressure because we oversalt the food. Oils, you know, turn right into body fat. That's a problem when most of 80 to 90%, 95% of our women are overweight or obese, and over 80% of our black men are overweight or obese because we consuming too much oils, which has no fiber. So I can eat a whole pound of string beans. I love collard greens, mustard greens. So you want to do both. Huge raw salad every day, and you also want to do a large plate of some steamed green vegetables.
So don't add, like, any grilled chicken or anything to your salad?
All right, now, y'all really get ready to step on my feet now. Leave my bird alone. And I'm trying to give it up.
Man, brother, I don't even know if we could call them things birds now.
I hear that. Oh, well, that answered it.
I hear that too. But, you know, Minister Jordan, the other thing, and Elliot touched on it with Flint in relationship to water, because another thing I hear is about water that is high in pH. Is that important in relationship to the diet? I mean, I understand the emphasis of the green and the power it does, but what about the water intake that we have and the since now we're almost buying water instead of turning on the tap?
Yeah, we need to get a water filter. I invested in before I got my water filter, I did old-fashioned boiling. I would let it boil for about 10 minutes. Then a third, once you let it settle, you throw out the last third because that's where all the toxins, the boiling will push all the toxins and chemicals to the bottom. So boiling is still an excellent way to burn out and then to filter the water. But you want to invest in a nice, powerful, mine's is AquaTrue. And it took me 6 months on a waiting list, and I made the investment. It lasts 5 years, it was 365. But there's nothing more important to me than my health and the health of my small children. So, and it's very powerful. It takes out almost 100% of all pollutants in the tap water. So invest in a water filter. Invest in a real good water filter.
And that is from the basement or from wherever your main water come in, or are you speaking from your tap as far as filters?
Yes, sir. My water filter is one that fits right on the countertop. You fill it up with the tap water, and then it uses reverse osmosis and it purifies it. But I wouldn't be against if somebody was able to afford installing a water filter in their whole plumbing, then go for it. That's even better. And then you can, you know, shower in clean water and have your entire system purified. That's even better. One day I will get to that point where I'm definitely going to do that.
Minister Jordan, I'm the type of individual that love fruits, grapes, mangoes, watermelons. Yeah, I mean, some fruits I don't bother too much with. But generally, I love fruits. And I was told by an individual that too much fruits is bad because of the sugar. Now, I thought that, you know, natural sugar is not bad. So you could eat as much fruit as you want. Clear that up for me. Am I in error eating a lot of fruit?
Yes and no. You're in error eating. You can't eat too much fruit. You can't eat too much of a variety of green vegetables and raw vegetables, but you can't eat too much fruit. The diet has to be green-based and then other vegetables, and then we want to use fruit as dessert. You know, fruit is our dessert, you know, so fruit takes the place, you know, of the cookies and the Twinkies and the ding-dongs and the donuts and the potato chips. So, you know, 3 to 4 servings of fresh fruit. Now, berries, berries are actually, even though they're very sweet, they're very low in sugar and extremely high in nutrients. So berries, you could eat an unlimited amount of berries, blueberries, strawberries, and they're very low in sugar. So, again, people fail to understand that there's a hierarchy of nutrition even when it comes when we're speaking of fresh fruits and vegetables. But yes, you can. If you're just eating a bunch of bananas and dried fruits and, you know, pineapples and some of the other higher sugar fruits, and you're eating large amounts of those, and it's, you know, you're snacking on a bunch of fruit, and it's getting into your intake, you know, of vegetables, then that can become an issue, especially when you have a lot of weight to lose.
Okay. All right.
And if you're trying to reverse cancer, or type 2 diabetes, you want to stick to the berries because the berries and the citrus fruits and maybe plums, but cancer cells thrive on sugar. And then, of course, as a type 2 diabetic, you want to be careful. But berries are superfoods. There's, you know, you can't, it'd be impossible to eat too many of a variety of berries, but the diet still we want the diet to be vegetable based first.
Okay.
So how do you and shifting in the sense of, and I guess it is a process, food, and that is looking at say that what they're calling rice milk and almond milk, as far as to blend with, I don't like particularly putting water in my juice or whatever, so I use rice milk primarily now. What do you think of those products as far as from a dietary and a nutritional standpoint?
Well, I do know that rice is very high in arsenic. So unfortunately, it looks like the white man has completely destroyed our ability to intake much rice on a daily basis on a regular basis. So we want to stick to wild rice. When it comes to the plant milks, the plant milks are okay, you know, in moderation. You know, your almond milks, the unsweetened almond milk is probably the best. You can actually home make almond milk, you know, about 8 cups of water, drop a few dates in there and about a cup or two of raw almonds and pour in a little bit of vanilla, and you blend that up, and that can actually make some vanilla almond milk. You know, we used to do it, and then we stopped doing it for whatever reason. Those are good in moderation. Once you get the foundation of the diet right, where your diet, you know, is based off of your greens and beans and onions and mushrooms and berries and seeds, the G-bombs, you know, you can add, you know, other things can be added. You know, you can add in a little tofu. You can add in a little bit of, you know, whole wheat, you know, a little bit of the plant milks. You know, as long as those things don't overtake your vegetable intake and your green vegetable intake, then it wouldn't be an issue with those. And just make sure when you're buying something from a package, it's probably going to have to be, just make sure you read the ingredients and make sure they're not adding, sugar, and chemicals, to these packaged foods. And, usually packaged foods are too high in sodium, they're adding sugar. So we have to be real careful to read the ingredients when we're buying things from a package.
Mr. Jordan, the nuts. Now, I'm quite sure you're not talking about the salted peanuts. But talk about some of the good type of nuts to get. Now, and a question, too. When you're dealing with, like, a pumpkin seed, you tell us some of the good nuts to consume, as part of your diet.
Walnuts are the best when you talk about nuts. Now, I put nuts and seeds in the same category.
That's the one nut that I hate. But go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. No. So when you're talking about, if we're strictly talking about nuts, walnuts are the best nuts to consume. Because walnuts are extremely high in omega-3 fats. Omega-3 fats bring down inflammation in the brain, allows the brain to function properly. Remember, we have a epidemic of mental illness and anger and aggression in our youth, in our communities. And walnuts are the best nut for that, for the brain. And then they're very powerful at fighting cancer. On the seed side, flax seeds have a medicine in them called lignans, and they've been shown in hundreds of scientific studies to reverse cancer, prostate cancer, breast cancer. Flax seeds are also excellent for the brain. Flax seeds, chia seeds, hemp seeds. If you're an athlete like me, sunflower seeds are very high in protein. Plants give us all the protein we need. We don't need to eat no diseased animal, that's been tortured and fed God knows what to get our protein. We can get our protein, from plant sources like nuts and seeds. Pumpkin seeds are very high in zinc, which is an important nutrient for the brain and important nutrient for preventing and reversing cancer that most of us are deficient in. Almonds are very high in protein. If you're talking about reversing disease, you're overweight, you got prostate cancer, you got type 2 diabetes, you're on the death train. You want to get off the white man's medications, or you don't want to get on them, and the white man pushing you to get on his cancer causing medications. If you ask me, okay, what are these superfoods? Then remember G bombs and the S being for seeds, and the high and the best seeds will be flax seeds, then chia and hemp, because of the lignin content, and lignins are potent disease fighting nutrients. And then on the nut side of the equation, I would say walnuts. And after walnuts in the nut group, I would say pumpkin seeds, almonds. But the walnuts are definitely the some top nuts that we should be consuming on a regular basis. And they help to make a great crust and a nice dessert, too, because you can make pies, eating this way. Apple pies, lots of delicious desserts you can make. And walnuts help to make a nice crust.
Now, hey, Elliot, Minister Jordan messed me up now, because I'm one of them who, again, the cashews is the nut that I seem to go for now. But I find also when I, because I, I might eat them in bulk as far as, like at work and just throwing them down, but I have to be careful because it seems that they are also buying. Is that a concern when you're talking about the amount of intake of especially nuts? And what do you think of cashews? I hear the best ones is walnuts. And here you go. Now I got to go and change up again. But what do you think of cashews?
Oh, cashews are hell. I mean, they're great. You know, that's what my 5 and 3 year old snack on. But the problem, you know, with snacking as an adult, you know, is that we have to make sure that, you know, we're doing enough activity to justify snacking on nuts and seeds, because they're very high in calories and very high in fat, and that can inhibit our health goals. And we definitely, one issue when we're on the standard American diet, we feel withdrawal when we're not eating, when we're not chewing and digesting food. We feel withdrawal like crack addicts do when you throw them into rehab. So we think we're hungry when really our body is trying to heal. You know, so your stomach growling, you're getting a headache, you're getting confused, you get irritated, you know, and turning into a monster unless you get a Snicker or a cup of coffee. You know, those are symptoms of withdrawal and detoxification, not hunger. You know, so snacking on some nuts and seeds because your stomach is growling or you're getting irritated or lightheaded, that's not hunger. That's toxic hunger. So we need to address that because we're eating in response to addictive cravings and not because there's a biological need to eat. Like in my 5 and 3 year old boys, I mean, they run around. I don't let them watch TV or play video games or play on phones. So they're traditional children where a lot of their time is spent moving and playing and acting a fool. So they burn a lot of energy. So they do a lot of snacking and eating. Whereas me, myself, I only eat twice a day at most because I don't feel withdrawal pains just because I'm not eating. True hunger is felt in the mouth and in the throat, not in the head and not in the stomach. But it takes a while to get in touch. You got to let your body heal to where you can go long periods of time without eating. So snacking on nuts and seeds is definitely a bad thing unless you have a biological need for the extra calories. And for 99% of Americans, there's no need to be snacking in between meals. It's just snacking for addiction purposes.
Mr. Jordan, you said you usually deal with two meals. What do you do, like breakfast and lunch, or you skip dinner, or you do like the lunch with the salad and dinner, or what's your two favorites?
Yeah, so I do a early meal between the hours of 7 a.m. and 9 a.m., and then I like eating my next meal in between the hours of 2 p.m. and 4. So I like to go to bed at least 6 hours having not eating. And, you know, that's called living in the catabolic phase. That's the phase once your body breaks down food and you're done breaking down food. That's when your body can heal itself. And see, that's when most Americans start feeling withdrawal symptoms. And like a crackhead, they think they have to shoot up with food. But when your body is healed, once you enter that phase, once you go 3 hours without eating, you're good, and you can let your immune system work on fighting against all the pollutants that the white man has pumped into our environment to try to give us cancer. So that is one of the prerequisites of eating to live and health and longevity, is that we want to eat as few as calories with the most nutrients and as few as meals as possible to give our body plenty of time to heal itself. And healing, true detoxification, can only occur when the body is not breaking down food. And that's called the catabolic phase, or if you want to call it in simpler terms, you can say intermittent fasting, where you're going long periods of times in between meals. And, you know, you can call that intermittent fasting. So those are the two times that I prefer to eat. I can't fit in a third meal unless I'm just, you know, falling off, you know, the way I eat. I don't have a biological need to fit in a third meal in a day, even with all the weight training that I do.
Okay. Mr. Jordan, about a month ago, I went and picked up from the health store a 7-day body cleanse detox. and you know, and did it. There's a certain amount of the tablets you have to take each day. When is it good to do that? Like during each season? How often should you do like a detox or things of that nature if you want to do something like a body cleanse?
Yeah, I don't believe. I mean, those body cleanses, I wouldn't waste my money on them. They,
okay.
You know, we before we can, you know, talk about detoxing, we have to understand what it means to become toxic. Okay. And to become toxic means that you have eaten and living in a manner to where over the years it has built up a tremendous amount of pollutants and toxins in your tissues. That's what it means to become toxic. Now, that process doesn't happen overnight.
Okay.
We're talking about, you know, when you're an adult, we're talking about 30, 40, 50 years of day after day poisoning your cells to where they have become saturated with pollutants and toxins and free radicals. Now, so when you're so understanding that becoming toxic is a lifelong process, when you want to detox, it's insanity for us to believe that we can detox what took 50 years in a few days. What took 50 years to become toxic, you know, so it took to clean out our cells, to detox our cells, because that's what toxic means, that your cells are polluted. To detox cells takes a flipping of a diet. It took a low plant nutrient, micronutrient poor diet to become toxic. So now we have to flip the diet. And we have to eat a diet style that will clean out our toxins and then clean out our cells. And then we have to eat that diet for a long period of time. Now, fortunately, it doesn't take. The body is so miraculous and wants to be healthy that it doesn't take as long to truly detox as long as it took to become toxic. But it's still not a mere, you know, popping some pills or a potion or a shake, you know, for 7 to 10 days is still, you know, going to take, you know, several months. And to truly repair DNA damage, that takes several years of doing the same thing that it took to become toxic. Just like, you know, it took eating the poison day after day to become toxic, we have to flip the diet to a plant-rich diet and do that day after day. And then not snacking in between meals is very important because, once again, true detoxification is letting the medicines that you eat work on cleaning your cells out. And that can only happen when you're not digesting and breaking down food. And you're going to have to go through a little the crackhead rehab withdrawal symptoms to where you can get to a point where when you haven't eaten in 4 to 5 or 6 hours, you don't feel a need to eat something because you feel ill. So that's true detoxification. Detoxing is a lifelong process of feeding our cells, our tissues, and our organs with micronutrients, which are only found in abundance in the food, the foods that our Creator grew from the earth for us to eat.
Mr. Jordan, give our listening audience some information on how they can get your publication. In fact, I'll be talking to you because I want to put some of the publications on the Time for Awakening website so people can get them. But you talked about some of the books with recipes and things of that nature. Tell the people how they can get in contact with you and get some of the material.
Yes, sir. So my website is theministerofwellness.com. theministerofwellness.com. I have booklets on the cause, the cure, the prevention and the cure to heart disease, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and the weight loss book. I'm out of stock on my 2-hour DVD, The Fundamentals of Eating to Live, but you can purchase the hard copies of my booklets on my website or the ebook versions. Once again, theministerofwellness.com. I'm the only one, I believe, on the planet with that title. So if you Google the Minister of Wellness, my videos will pop up. I have almost 100 videos on YouTube for free. You can also call me at area code 314-443-8441. I only have a few copies of my cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and weight loss books on stock. So you can call me at 314-443-8441. And again, I do, as a health and wellness speaker, I am always available and willing to keynote at any event that you may have.
What about some of your recipe books?
Yeah, so and all the every book have recipes.
Oh, okay.
In the book. So the cancer book has about 15 recipes that I picked out for cancer. The heart disease, high blood pressure. Once I teach you about it and you know now how to get rid of it, then I give you recipes. Same with the type 2 diabetes, reversible in 30 days. Same with the weight loss book, 35 recipes. So, yes, each booklet comes with recipes, including desserts.
Okay. All right. Yeah, well, I'm going to be in touch with you because I want to, put some of the things on the Time for Waiting website so folks can network with you through the through our website also.
Thank you.
Mr. Jordan, I want to thank you for being with us. I know you're going
to talk. You gave me more work, but it's work that my body will enjoy. You know, now I picked up about that. The heavy lifting that you do there. And now I hope that all of us realize that that's what our body requires of us, demands of us, in order to be able to be well. But Minister Jordan, did you really have to do that now? Because I got to now follow through. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, brother. I love you all, and I got to tell my people the truth.
I'll be in touch with you, brother. And thanks for being with us.
No problem. Thank you for having me, Brother Booker.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir.
We'll be right back.
Tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All Insurance Incorporated, an African-American owned and operated insurance agency in business for over 20 years, located at 231 Southeastern Road in Glenside, PA, with other offices in Germantown and West Philadelphia. Call now for commercial insurance quotes, homeowners insurance quotes, automobile insurance quotes, notary and tax services. Representing over 15 major A-rated insurance companies, offering a discount on all notary services when you call in for a free quote. Call this number, 215-885-2444. That number is 215-885-2444. 215-885-2444. All Insurance Incorporated.
Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley. Dooley Brothers, specializing in shingle, rubber roofs, gutters, downspouts, and vinyl sidings. Call for your free estimate today. 215-224-3882. That's 215-224-3882. Dooley Brothers Roofing, the roofing experts you can trust. That number again, 215-224-3882. 215-224-3882. Before your roof becomes unruly, call Dooley.
Are you one of the million conscious Black people who believes that we have the collective wherewithal to affect real economic and political change? If so, band together in solidarity by joining the 1 million conscious Black voters and contributors. Choose leadership that will work for the best interests of Black people. We can no longer sit on the sidelines and expect things to change for the better without a significant number of Black people playing a pivotal role in that effort. Will you be one of the million that recognizes that Black dollars matter? Are you that person who believes it's time to leverage our votes for reciprocity from politicians? If so, then you should join the 1 million conscious Black voters and contributors, with members in 29 states and growing every day. We encourage you to sign up and help spread the word by sharing our website, IamOneOfTheMillion.com. That's IamOneOfTheMillion.com.
Yo, throw that Bobby Hymn DVD in the garbage, man.
Come on, that water, man.
Yeah. Speak to him, Lord. Somewhere, a Black man's eyes wells up in the dark. Away from his peers. Away from his queen. Away from his offspring.
That's right.
Coming to a fork in the road and not realizing that he cannot stand still. Cause sometimes life isn't about right or wrong, just left or right.
Gotta keep it moving.
The stress, the pressure, the respect of your woman, the admiration of your child. Almost obsolete as the breadwinner when the flower is provided by the enemy. If your only resource is labor, or at least that's what they'll pay for.
Slavery, God.
What happens when they could get it for cheaper?
Man up.
Have we got an amnesia as to what a man is and what a man does?
Like power.
Is the possibility of death too great? Is the fear of physical confinement hindering your proper judgment?
I just got locked up last week.
See, death is a guarantee. And you might just get knocked just because.
That's word.
Now, your woman condescends, cause she just can't understand how she could get a job, but you cannot.
Gotta create our own job.
And look at the places you go, and the people you fraternize with, cause they say a lot about your character. And whether you are who you say you are.
Soldier.
White supremacy has struck a deadly blow, but our vital signs persist. When we know better, an excuse is just an excuse.
Up, stop talking.
And whether you fully comprehend or not,
yeah, Lord.
You're a man.
Stand up, let them know, Lord.
And manhood is your birthright.
Stand right. Up.
It is your job to know what that entails, Black man.
Stand up.
And it cannot be defined by our natural adversary.
Clean up.
For his ways are not ours. Do we allow our boys to be feminized?
Hell no.
Do we allow our girls to be masculinized?
Hell no.
Because sheep get on the defensive? Or do we muster manhood and stand firm on our principles?
Stand strong, Lord.
I leave that up to you, brother.
Casket drop.
But as you dry your face and contemplate your next move, keep in mind the devils love doubt.
Yeah.
And if you don't know how to be a man, they will show you how.
It's wartime.
Welcome back to Time for an Awakening. And I want to thank our special guest that was with us for the second portion of our program, Mr. Nathaniel Jordan, the health minister for the Universal African People's Organization, headed by Zaki Baruti down there in St. Louis. Thank you for being with us. A lot of good health information there.
Yes.
Mr. Jordan, Brother Richard, got to start incorporating a lot of those into my strategy to get some of these pounds off. I mean, I feel pretty good, Richard, but I know I can come down
Yeah. Hey, look, Elliot, I threw out the mirror, so I wouldn't even have to look.
Yeah, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. Oh, boy. Again, looking forward to Sunday live broadcast at the LOX conference. We'll be broadcasting live. We'll probably start the program probably around 1 o'clock. Sister POC with Revive. She'll be broadcasting Sunday mornings, 11 to 1. And we'll probably take it from there at the LOX conference live. So make sure you tune in and join us on Sunday. Be a lot of fun there. A lot of different guests coming, stopping by. And some of our Philadelphia listeners that will come out to the LOX conference, they can stop by and holler at myself and Brother Richard. Again tomorrow, Saturday at 10 o'clock. Tune in to Time for Awakening with SST, Saturday Sports Talk, with my man, Brother Troy Wilmore. He'll be broadcasting live tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Catch this program. It's a conscious slant on sports. It's an exciting a talk with Brother Troy Wilmore on his program, SST, Saturday Sports Talk, which will be on Time for Awakening at 10 tomorrow morning. By next Saturday, there'd be another program that Saturday evening, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. His program is from 4 to 6. That'll be next Saturday. So, like I said, a lot of new programming starting this month and some starting next month on Time for Awakening. We'll be expanding things, and without the listening audience, this wouldn't be possible. Before we go this evening, Brother Richard, I know you're looking forward to the LOX conference down there, because I know that you wear LOX. Is there anything that you do, anything particular to yours, Brother Richard, or you just, because you've been wearing them for a long time?
Yeah, and nature is trying to take them away, but I'll leave that alone. But, you know, I try to put the oil, the jojoba oil, and got some, you know, I put the tea tree to, you know, just to, for the scalp.
So you maintain yours on your own? You don't go to anybody?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I'm thinking about walking in there and saying, help me, help me. And that's what I'm going to do at the LOX conference, you know, since they have all the specialists in one place, I can go shopping and see who can help me out. Or, you know, Minister Jordan was talking about the body. I got to find a hair doctor.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. Listen, I want to thank everybody for listening to the program this evening. Lively discussion, as always, and we'll be back on Sunday live from the LOX conference, Lord willing, to continue on this path towards an awakening. Peace.
Peace.
If you're driving through the country on a lazy afternoon, or you're watching your children playing after school, they seem to be so unaware. I know the thing that they'll soon have to take care of. We've got to do something, yeah, to save the children. Soon it will be their turns to try and save the world. Right now they seem to play so
such a small part of. And little Mary, she said she got to teach school. If we know all we say we know about the problem.
Children, to save the children.